Tonight is the Shloshim, a very good friend of mine, a very good friend of everybody here, Meisha Rosenberg. Tonight's the Shloshim, Alexander Meisha, then Yeshua David. Meisha was a person that anybody came in contact with and was moved and inspired by his presence. He persevered through the most difficult times you can imagine, and always able to come up on top. We're talking about Parashat Tetzaveh, how it's Nageh to Meisha Rosenberg, his Avodah, his Chizuk that he gave all of us, and also Purim, which is coming Bezras Hashem this week. Anybody knew Rav Meisha? The way he portrayed himself and the way that he really was, b'pnimius, were two separate people. He portrayed himself to be a big Am HaOretz. And then he was a Yid, was Mamashat Ham Tchochem. He could learn with the best of them. The person had Yidiz and all in Shas and Paiskim. He portrayed himself as Mamash to be no one special. And he was Makbid on it. The emes is, as the Shur Meish Mechutin, Mr. Nathan, could testify, and all of us who knew him knew that he was a special individual person, that Bepnimius was Kol Kulei Ovid and Davik Bashem. The beginning of the parasha, At Tzav is B'nai Yisrael, you command B'nai Yisrael. The Rechem HaKodesh says, At Tzav, the Tzav, Tzadi Vav, is a language that connotes his Chabrus, which is a connection, a Chibrut. The Rechem HaKodesh goes to explain that Pshat is a Meish Rabbeinu, his Mechuber is connected. Every generation, there's a Meish Rabbeinu. The Neshom Meish Rabbeinu comes, every generation is connected to us. His Mechazaka, his Me'uris, his Malabit Torah, V'ta'ata T'tzavis B'nei Yisrael. The Rabbeinu Shem is saying to Meish Rabbeinu, according to Rechem HaKodesh, that you connect to Klai Yisrael. The Meish Rabbeinu's Avodah was that he was mechuber, connected, a connection that can't be separated, the klayus of all generations. Rav Meisha was a person who was connected kokulei with the klayus of Bigger Rebbe. Rav Meisha would go kiseide, he'd go Shabbos to the klayus of Bigger Rebbe, even though it was hard for him, he told me several times he would go, then he'd get sick every time he would go, physically. He told me, little Shabbos, sometimes that would be for 4 hours long. Shabbos morning, Sunday wouldn't start till 11, it didn't end till 5. And he'd go for Shalosh Shudis, he didn't get home till 3 o'clock in the morning. And said, every time he'd go, Meisha was sick, he told me since he was 9 years old, since the war. And every time he'd go, he'd walk out Shvach, and he'd get a cold, and he'd have a fever, and he'd be sick, Balavaisa. To come to see his rabbi, to come see the Klois of the rabbi, just to be with him for Shabbos, was kedai for him to be sick for days and days and days afterwards. And the Almana, she told me that the whole time, whenever Meisha went to his operations, always was makbid to carry with him a book, a sefer, a dvar Torah, something, a picture of the Klois of the rabbi. Because he had this chus of the Rebbe would guard him and protect him. And we all know the unbelievable avodah with the Klois Maker Rebbe, what he did after the war in the DP camps, a bunch of kids who lost everything they had, lost their parents, and lost their families, lost their cities, they know where to turn, nowhere to go, not in Ruchlis, not in Gashmis. And the Rebbe pushed everybody through, his Ma'ir people, Chazik people, to return to the path of Torah. To return to the path of their mothers and their fathers and the Zaydas and everybody else for all generations, all the way to Meisha Rabbeinu. And he was able to mechaz them and teach them this is the way to be. And Rav Meisha was one of those people. Rav Meisha said that for sure he wouldn't have been a Shomer Shabbos, he wouldn't have been from, he would have been nothing if it wasn't for the Rebbe. After the war, you can imagine the stories, the mayor told me, and I heard from other people also, that Rav Meisha, after the war, besides all the Peltic stories that happened during the war, that he didn't like to talk about exactly what happened during the war, he talked about before the war, after the war. And he was a little child, he must have been... I believe he was born in...
9 years old.
He was 9 years old.
9 years old.
9 years old after the war. So he was stuck in an orphanage after the war. He was sick. He had a typhus or some sort of... I can't remember exactly which rheumatic fever. He had some sort of very bad sickness. He told me he was in and out of consciousness for months after the war. And he didn't speak our language. He didn't speak the language of the hospital, the orphanage that he was in. He didn't know where his parents were, his brothers, his sisters. He knew nothing. And he was a little kid, 9 years old, in and out of consciousness. And we can just imagine the despair such a person must have had. And Mary Chappelle, the good story is that one time he was very makbid, he wouldn't eat treif. And all they served at his orphanage was treif for food, they had nothing. So he ate bread maybe, but he didn't eat meat, didn't eat anything else, chas v'shalom, didn't eat treifas. And one time he had an uncle who he found that had survived. His uncle came and brought him a piece of chicken. It was on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. And the rabbi, the father brought him, the uncle brought him a piece of chicken, a 9-year-old boy. And he took the chicken, he's about to eat it. He was so besimcha, finally a piece of kosher chicken that he hasn't had in who knows how long, in years. And he thought to himself, he says, listen, Shabbos is only 3 days away. So why should I take this piece of chicken and eat it now? I'm going to put it underneath my pillow and I'll save it for Shabbos. Can you imagine a 9-year-old boy who just lost everything he had? They got a piece of chicken, he's hungry. You can imagine he was starving for years, he's starving. They didn't have food in the camps. And the first thing I thought of, I got a piece of chicken, you can imagine how any of us would jump on it to eat it with such excitement. But instead of taking and eating, he said, Shabbos Kodesh is coming. Why should I take it now? And he put it away underneath his bed. And when Shabbos came, he took out the chicken was rotted. And you can imagine the despair that he had. That to see this chicken rotted, the chicken that he stayed for Shabbos. But he didn't give up. He didn't say, forget it, this I did something good. And Moshe persevered. And he had word that his parents survived, and finally met them, and he had them, and he got in touch with them, and he got out and went to Sweden for a few years, eventually making his way to America. And Reb Moshe had everybody knew about a certain chutzpah to him. And he kept, and that's why he survived throughout the war and survived through all of his difficulties. And the one who led him, who took him, he took his primus, took his neshama, he took the yid that was left inside of him, through all the darkness and difficulties and suffering he had endured, was the Klosim Begurema. And I saw Majapal to Gavon, the Sichai Sadiqim. The Sichai Sadiqim says the reason why doesn't have anywhere the place where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. The Pasuk says, nobody knows where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. And the Sichai Sadiqim says, Adovin Nifla. Says the pshat is, why is he don't know Moshe Rabbeinu was buried? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is buried inside of every single one of us. There's a Nikud of a Tzaddik that's inside of all of us. And it takes Moshe Rabbeinu to awaken it up. It takes Moshe Rabbeinu to see the pnimius of a person, to look inside of him and say, this yid, he looks like he's suffering, he looks like he's far away from Yiddishkeit. But Moshe Rabbeinu sees that nikud, that nitzos, that spark that's inside of everybody. And he's able to activate that spark and make it brighten. And that's a pshat. Moshe never knows where his kfura is, because he never had a kfura. Moshe Rabbeinu is here inside of every single one of us. And the Klausenberg Rebbe was able to see that spark in Moshe Rabbeinu, in Moshe Rosenberg, and mechazik him, and light it on fire. The Maisa was that after the war, in the DP camps in Fehrenwald and other places where the Rebbe went, the people there, boys, were throwing off their yarmulkes. They weren't putting on tefillin, tzitzis, nothing you can imagine, and we can't blame Chas v'Shalom anything that they did. And the Rebbe went over to one of the boys and he said, what are you doing? Where's the yarmulke? Where's the davening? Shmir Shabbos. What's going on over here? And the boy told the Rebbe, he said, Rebbe, you know what we just went through. You know we survived, we endured the darkness and the suffering. And how could you, Rebbe, how could you tell me that I have to go daven now? I lost my mother, I lost my father, I lost my city, I lost my friends. And you're going to tell me I have to come and little Shabbos to come to your tish? You're going to tell me I have to come Shabbos morning to come to daven? Rebbe, how can you tell me after what we've been through, Rebbe, how can you tell me this? And the Rebbe asked him, so listen, Ingle, do you remember Friday night in your home? What happened by Hadlokas Neiris? What did your mother do by Hadlokas Neiris? And the boy said to Rebbe, he said, Rebbe, I don't know. I just know that my mother lit the candles and she cried. My mother lit the candles and she cried. And the Rebbe said, do you know why she was crying? Why was she crying? And the kid said, boy said, I have no idea. And the Rebbe told him she was crying because she was davening that you should grow up to be an Eilich Yid. That's why she cried. And every tear that came from her face was for you. And the boy thought about his mother who was killed during the war, davening for a child, davening for an Eilich Yid, davening to be a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, davening to be a Talmud Chochem, davening a person who's dovek by Hashem Yisbarach. It hit his heart, and he melted, and he burst into tears, and he cried. And that boy, Baruch Hashem, and the spot was Chesed B'Tshuva, ended up becoming, we saw this mice over by an Enochel's bris that he made many, many years later. The koyach of a tzaddik, the koyach of a Talmud Chochem, the koyach of a person who doesn't give up on anybody and sees the pnimius, that spark of Moshe Rabbeinu that's in everybody, that's what the Rebbe was. And that's what Moshe Rosenberg was zeichet to be one of those people. Also, we have in Parashat Tetzaveh, talks about Shemen Zayis Zach, olive oil. So now there's certain chshivas to olive oil in the Torah. Shemen HaMishcha, we would anoint kings with olive oil. The menorahs of the olive oil, the menorahs had olive oil in them. What's a chshivas? Halakas Ner Shabbos supposed to be with olive oil lechatchila? What's the galus of oil? Why oil? So the emes is that oil comes out only when an olive is crushed. When an olive is crushed and it's pressured, that's when the olive oil comes out. Everybody knows the greatness of a Jew, our galus, our abilities, our potentials actualize specifically when we're forced to. When the time is coming against us, when it's difficult, when it's hard, that's when we attack it, that's when our innerness comes out. Our inner latent powers are able to express themselves specifically in difficult times. And we know that happened specifically during the war, the Peldik and Maisim and Tzadikim, who didn't give up, who didn't turn back. There's a Mais about the Rebbe that's written in the book, the Klosenberg Rebbe of the War Years. It's Masha Dovin Nifla. Mamish Mais and Nais from Tanakh. I made a bracha before. Everybody. So Klosenberg Rebbe, in one of the death marches, after Mamish near the end of the war, the Rebbe went with a whole kavutz of people, and they're in a terrible camp. They're Mamish, the labor was horrible, and they didn't get food, drink, nothing. And there was hundreds of them, probably thousands of them. I don't know, they probably had different encampments, I don't know exactly. But the Rebbe was walking with a whole bunch of them, and it was burning hot, it was hot outside, there was no water, and there was no food, and people, Mamish, Rebbe, people were dying left and right. And if you fell, you got shot. There was no games going on over there. And the Rebbe, they went ahead and they laid down. It was nightfall. They all lay down. And the people are saying, if we don't get something to drink right now, we're going to die. We're going to die. They're dehydrated. They went for days. And the biggest thing they got, the biggest gift they had is one time it rained a little bit. And when it rained, and when the Nazis in Achshavah weren't looking or they're taking a break, they licked the water off of the leaves. That was how they'd survived that day. And they were starving, and they were thirsty, and it was difficult. And they told the Rebbe, do something. So what are we supposed to do? And they were lying down on the ground. If you lifted up your head, you got shot. So lying there flat on the ground, and they heard you talk, you got shot. It was a peldika matzav. And the Rebbe said, they had the spoons or something that they used to have in the camps. And they had some sort of spoons. And the Rebbe told them to start digging. As mice of the people were there. The Rebbe said, take a spoon and just start digging. He said, dig what? Just start digging. And they took their spoons, started digging the ground, and the Maisa goes, the water started coming out from the holes they dug, and that's what survived that night, and eventually, Baruch Hashem, a lot of them, when it's chazik from that, they went free. Eventually. Weeks later. And the Maisa, it's a Maisa Neis. It's Marj Elisha Anovi, Eliyahu Anovi. They dug in the ground, the water came out. You're not talking 60 years ago, 70 years ago. Not talking, not talking to Baal Shem HaKadosh. That was a place in the Rebbe who was nifted 17 years ago. And it's a practical lesson from here. And the lesson is that when there's nothing to do, when you're stuck, and there's no answers, what are you going to do? There's no answers. How are you going to survive? I don't know. But you just do something. Take an action. Do it. You'll see the Baal Shem makes it happen. They're pressed against the wall and the time has come. Either take an action or don't take an action. You have an option. Either you go and you have your yish, you forget, you have despair, and you say, listen, there's nothing to do, and we give up, and you say, I'm not giving up. What are you going to do? You're going to dig in the ground. What are you going to dig in the ground for? I don't know, but the Rebbe Hashem is going to help me. And that's what we do. There's a time we have to move. Nachshon ben Aminadov, when he's there by the water, and the water's coming up to his neck and up to his nose, and what are you going to do? You're going to turn back to Mitzrayim? You're going to scream out? You're going to give up? So you go weiter. What happens? Chris Amsuf. Here, you're starving, you're going to dehydrate, what are you going to do? You dig in the ground. Do something. The Baruch Hashem always helps us out. The Baruch Hashem always saves us. And you're pressed, and it's hard, and it's difficult, and you have nowhere to go. That's when the olive oil comes out. The oil comes out specifically then, and a person that's Leich, there's a story here about the Rebbe also, that the Rebbe during the war, is very careful, he didn't want anybody to shave his beard. At one time, the Nazis came, Yimach Shemam Zichram, and they were shaving all the beards of all the people in the camps. And the Rebbe refused, B'shum Eifer. He refused, B'shum Eifer, they're going to touch a razor to his beard. And they went to the Rebbe and said, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam Zichram, they told him, Rabbi, I don't know if they called him, probably didn't call him Rabbi, said, we're cutting off your beard, we're shaving with the razor of your beard. And he said, "You're absolutely not touching my face with a razor." And he said, "We're going to hit." And they started beating him. Bam! Beating him. He said, "I don't care what you do, you're not touching my face with a razor." And they told him, Rebbe, said, I don't know what they called him, Rabina, if you don't let us cut off with a razor, we're going to rip the skin off of your face. And they didn't have qualms. It wasn't a bluff. They were going to do it. The Rebbe said, I don't care what you're going to do to me. You're not touching a razor, not coming to my face. So as the Nazis approached him to take and do what they were going to say, they hear a voice in the background, another Nazi screaming, what are you doing to this old man? He said, what do you mean? He said, so don't let him shave his beard. Take a scissor, cut his beard with a scissor, and go back. And that's what happened. When we stare death in the eyes, when we stare darkness in the face, and we say, I'm not giving in to you. I don't care what you say. I don't care what the threats are. You tell me you're going to kill me, so you're going to have to kill me. When we're able to look at the difficulties in the eye and look at them and say, I don't care what you say. I don't care how difficult it might be. I'm not giving up my principles. I'm not giving up into despair, and you're not going to take away who I am. When a person has that ability, that person has nisim happen to him. And there's many ways, v'cheinu v'cheinu ma'amish peldik ha'maisim, maybe we'll speak more about it later. And we have another pasuk. It says, v'shechanti b'seich b'nei Yisrael, v'yisi lochem elokim. And I'm going to dwell amongst Klai Yisrael, Hashem says in the Mishkan. I'm going to dwell amongst you, I'll be for you, Elokim. And the Mezitra Maggid asks the peldik akasha. The Mezitra Maggid asks, why does it say, I'll be for you, Elokim? Elokim is midas hadin. We know the Sfan tells us Elokim is a mid of severity, of justice, of punishment. So Hashem tells us, I will dwell amongst you, and I'll be for you a punisher. I'll be for you to exact dinim upon you. That's exactly what we want to hear. It should say, V'shechadim esuch b'nei sovisi lechem Hashem. Hashem, the name of kindness, Shem Avaya. Why is that name Elokim? So they say, Mamish, a beautiful idea from you. Is that only because, only if it's v'shechanti b'soich b'nei Yisrael, only if Hashem Yisbarach says, I'm dwelling amongst you. If you dwell amongst the person, that means you love them. I want to be with you, Hashem says. And now v'shechanti b'soich b'nei Yisrael, now that I'm with you and I love you and you know that I love you and I want to be with you. I want to be with the Jewish people, Hashem says. And now that Hashem shows He loves us, now He can punish us. If you don't know someone loves you and they punish you, you think it's only achzoris, it's evil, it's difficult, it's wrong, it's mean. But if you know that He loves you, then the punishment is taken a whole different form. When a father punishes his son, if the child does not know that the father loves him, and he punishes him, he hates his father. But a child knows that the father loves him, and he's doing it for his good, and he loves him. And then he wants to punish him because he wants to go make him better. It's a whole different story. So Maisha was a Yid who had difficulties and he had sicknesses. He was sick. He told me he was sick since he was 9 years old, since he was in the camps. He said he was in Austria for an entire winter with just a pair of shorts and a t-shirt at 9 years old. Then everything was said, and it was freezing, and it was snowing, and it was below zero. And he survived, and he said ever since then he's been sick. And he had operations, and he would call me up and he'd tell me, I have a big problem because if I take this medicine, then my heart will be better. But I might have a stroke. So I stopped doing medicine, I'm going to have a stroke, but then my heart will be better. So he's had these issues his whole life to deal with. He's going to be healthy, and he was not even well enough to work like a regular person. And you never heard him complain. You know, Umesh was, his neck was so weak, and if anybody knows this, his neck was so weak, he couldn't, and anybody davening with him knew he didn't wear tefillin the entire davening. He put on tefillin maybe right before Shema, take it off right after Shema Nesai. And he told me why. He said, because for years he had a neck, every day after, in the morning he had these horrible neck pains. And he could never find out why he had these horrible neck pains. He went to Dr. Bernstein, Dr. Bernstein told him, it's because your tefillin are too heavy for your neck to hold. So he started not putting on his tefillin the entire davening, and he was fine afterwards. Tefillin, how heavy are tefillin? Tefillin, any little baby, kid could hold up tefillin. Mesh was so frail and so fragile that he kept tefillin on his head, and the entire davening would give him pain. He didn't complain about it. He didn't say, why did Bereshit do this to me? How could it be? Why is it that I had to lose a brother during the war? Why does it have to be so sick? Why do I have to be so frail? Why this? Why that? Look, we all ask. He didn't complain. Because you know Hashem loved him. If you know that Hashem loves you, then whatever He does for you, I can deal with it. Meir told me that before Meisha went to the last operation, before he was Nifter, he called up his whoever was there, his grandchildren, and he called everybody on the phone, explained to all of them that bitachon, having faith in Hashem, doesn't mean that they believe everything's going to be good. He said bitachon means that whatever happens, that is for the good. That's bitachon. It doesn't mean that I think everything's going to be rosy. It doesn't mean that everything's always going to be good like I envision it. Bitachon means whatever ends up happening, I know that that thing is for my best. And Meir told me that that was clear from his father that he didn't think he was coming out of this operation alive. And he called over Rebbe to tell him this. Bitachon doesn't mean that we believe it's going to be good. We believe that no matter what happens, we know that thing is for the good. And that's how we live our lives. If Meisha didn't pretend to think that everything was going to be good for him, he didn't pretend to think that everything was going to end up okay. He lived his life with the fact and the knowledge to know that no matter what happens, no matter how difficult and how dark and how gruesome and gloomy and I look, that thing is gewaldic. That's the Ratz Hashem, that's what we want. He didn't complain. He didn't say, I'm in pain. And Meisha and Meir told me he was so makbar and his seder, no matter how sick he was, he used to come here from 9:30 to 10:30 to come to the shir. I gave it to Rabbi Pavelski, Rabbi Bassman, could be, I don't remember who else gave the shir. What is that? Rabbi Newhouse before. So he used to come to the shir 9:30 to 10:30, he was makbar about it. And he didn't stop come, but he knew the sugyas, he knew how to learn, he knew the kashas, knew everything. That even when he wasn't well enough to come to the shir anymore, he was in his house, but he was shum oif and he wouldn't do anything from 9:30 to 10:30. So from 9:30 to 10:30 he's in Kailo. He didn't go back to 9:30 and 10:30. He didn't pick up the phone. I'm in Kailo. How can you bother me? And Limud HaTorah was his life. If you ever walked in, you always found Sfarim on the table. And Meir told me that after Meir went to Aspen, Meir was careful to leave all the Sfarim on the table that were there for when his father, when Meir went to the hospital the last time. Because you go and you see Sfarim and Gemaras, and the Masifta Gemaras used to love them, he would learn, and he walked over there, he always said Dvar Torah. He always pretend he was a big Amaretz. He always pretend that way. But he was kol kulei dovek b'Torah. To learn Torah, to love Torah, to say chidushei Torah. And he had such a geschmack, he'd call up before a simcha, he called me up and Rabbi Lefkowitz, and I'm sure he called other people also to tell him what Torah he had. And that was complicated, good geschmack of Atlach. And by one of the brisses I made, he came and learned with me, Ashtekul Torah, and we started over, and it was geschmack. And he loved it. And he sent over at Dvar Torah, mamish, like a bacher, a chosin getting at the chosin tish. He's a loved with such an enthusiasm, such a love for Torah, that only comes from being squashed for like an olive, and the oil comes out. And you can't get these people out of the difficulties. Hashem should protect us, we should never have difficult times. We have to know that's where it comes from. The ability to persevere in the difficult times. Purim is coming up. We know Purim is Mechias Amalek. The destruction of Amalek. So Amalek is Gematria of Suffolk. Amalek is Gematria of Suffolk. A suffix is a doubt. And a doubt doesn't just mean, I don't know if this is true or it's not true. A doubt is pshat, that we have to have emunah. And emunah means that every little fiber of our bodies have emunah. We live with the Ribbono Shel Olam. When a person eats, he eats with the Ribbono Shel Olam. When he sleeps with the Ribbono Shel Olam. When he walks on the street, he walks with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's emunah. And a suffix doesn't mean you're doubtful if the Ribbono Shel Olam is here. You doubt if the Torah is min hashamayim. You doubt any of the Gilui Ikrim. That's a suffix. A suffix is to the degree a person doesn't live with Hashem, where the beriros, where the clarity and the emes, the fact that Hashem is with me, to the degree that's not clear and doesn't affect a person's heart, it doesn't wake him, doesn't change the way he lives his life. That's called a suffix. That's a malik. A malik is the one who tries to put into your mind the ability not to think about Hashem, not to live with Hashem, not to have the clarity and the power of emunah. A malik. And the way to defeat a malik, we know, in Purim we drink yayin. Yayin, the celebration of Chiyas HaMalik is with yayin. What does Sheikhas HaMalik have to do with yayin? So we know that Nichnis yayin is Yotza Soit. Such that yayin, Soit, is the same gematria. When a person drinks wine, the Soit comes out. And that Soit, Pnimi, inside of every Jew has the ability to burn and destroy all the Kech of a malik. Kriyas is coldness. The pasuk says, the pasuk says, he cooled you down on the way. What does it mean he cooled you down on the way? It means he gave you sfeikas. If we were to understand and to believe the fact that the Zohar Kodesh says this. The Zohar Kodesh says the reason why, you know, it's a big kasha, the Rishayim will talk about it. What's a pshat that doesn't say anywhere in the Torah, the Schar Noilam Haba? The great reward we get in the next world, why doesn't it talk about it? So Ramban is a pshat and Rabbi Abaki, they are the pshatim, the Rishayim. The Zohar Kodesh said, because if we knew what the Schar was, there'd be no Bechir anymore. If we understood what the reward was for a mitzvah, there'd be no way you could ever turn down a mitzvah. Bechir become batal. If we knew what it meant, you put a mezuzah on your door. If we knew what it meant to put on tefillin shayah and tefillin shoresh in the morning. If we knew the ultimate schar and the joy and the bliss we'd get in Olam Haba, the bina yitzahar. It wouldn't be hard to get up in the morning. It wouldn't be hard to get to Seder in time. It wouldn't be hard to down with kavona. If we knew and we felt with all of the fibers of our being that when I learn one word of Torah, that all the malachim and shemayim listen to what I'm saying. And it was kedai, the entire world just created for one person to learn one word of Torah. If we felt it and we lived it, there'd be no amad. There's no kriyus. There's no coldness. If we approach the Torah with kaltkeit, we approach the Torah with coldness, we're not fired up about Torah, we don't wake up in the morning and jump out of bed saying, "My daddy, the fanecha." That's because the malik is inside of us. And nechnis and yasasait. Because the pnimius of a Jew, as we always say, as I say over all the time, cannot be affected. The pnimius of a Jew that nitzitz of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's in every single one of us. No matter what goes on in life, no matter what difficulties we have, no matter what spiritual darkness exists in the world, no matter what a various chashon person might have done, that nitzitz, that spark inside of him, has the ability to be nisayir, to awaken all the time, and to be chayzer b'tshuva, and to change his life around. Just like the world was created every moment, where the Nefesh HaChaim says, the whole world is created, every second the world is created anew, and the next second is created again, and the next second is created again. If the whole world is created again, that also means every single one of us is created again every moment. And that means that the person that I was 1 second ago is not who I am now. And the person who I am right now is not the person I'll be in 1 second from now. It's a recreation, renewal. And that pneuma is that point, the need to, it's the spark of Kedusha that exists inside of all of us. That needs to make sure that the closing Begarob is able to ma'ir, mechazik, encourage, ignite inside of every single person that he was with. That exists in every single one of us also. And it's fire. It's his slavas. Person's excited and he's joyful, he gets to sit down and learn Torah. Person gets excited, he's going to go do a chesed. He's going to decide, he's going to put on tefillin. He's excited, he's going to David Shachas, with the Kabbonis, and God's Pesuk, and Zim, and everything else. With Kavana, with the Simcha, and with the Brochis. And a person's joyful, and he's fired up about it. That's Nichnis Yayin. If the Yayin comes into a person, Yatzasoit, it's able to awaken up that point in a human being, and awaken up in Mechazik and Ma'irit, that his slavas, the joy and that fire for Torah, has the ability to burn away all the careers of a Malik. The coldness of a malik. Malik is a suffix. He calls a malik a letz. A letz. What's a letz? Letz is the pshat that if a person hears a drasha and a person zeichet to be ma'ir, nis'ir, awakened, inspired, encouraged by some sort of drasha, and somebody else comes and says, "Hey, it wasn't so good." And somebody says, "Hey, he said it funny." Whatever. That thing, that Litzonus, so to quench all the fires of Torah mitzvahs in the world. Stay away from Litzonus. Stay away from coldness. Stay away from kaltkeit. Be meicha amalek. Destroy it. We have to have the ability to have the clarity of emunah. That when a person says to himself, "I did kach v'kach yesterday. I did something wrong. But today I'm going to be somebody new." To be fired up, and the pnimius is nes'ayri, nes'chazik. This chesed b'tshuva awakens up inside of a person and say that I didn't do it today, but I'll do it tomorrow. There's a maisa. I've said over this maisa a bunch of times, but I didn't speak in a long time. So hopefully everybody forgot. If I didn't, chazar is still kedai. So closing with the Rebbe, Erev Yom Kippur after the war, they asked the Rebbe to speak, to say, "Dibur his iris, a drasha, to awaken everybody to tshuva." And I spoke to somebody who was actually there at the time when he said over the speech. It's not just in the books, but I heard it from somebody who was actually there. And the night before Yom Kippur, that night, he had a stream. The Rebbe had a stream of people coming into his house getting brachas from it. People didn't have fathers anymore. The Rebbe was their father, just like so many people that we knew. That the Rebbe became their father. And there was a maisa, a bunch of girls came even. And the Rebbe was so makpid, he didn't even touch his own daughters. And he, his own daughters who were 12 years and up, he didn't touch them. And girls would come, you said my many people didn't have parents anymore, but they came to the Rebbe and they asked him for a bracha and a Yom Kippur. And he took out a handkerchief and he put his hand on their heads, which he didn't even do for his own daughters. A handkerchief on their heads, and he touched them, gave them all brachas, because he understood that these people had, he was the only person they had left from the Altaim, the home that they once had, he was the only person they had. And the Meister goes, on Erev Yom Kippur, they begged him, Rebbe, say divrei, say something, give a drosha like we used to have back home, when the Rebbeinu used to say droshas, Rebbe, please, and he refuses, so we can't say droshas anymore. And they begged him, Rebbe, please say something. And the Rebbe gave a drosha. And this drosha is the most, we're not going to go through exactly all the things that he said, but it was the most moving drosha you can ever imagine. That the Rebbe was able to see what had happened, to understand the neshamas and the sorrow and the tzar everybody was under. And the Rebbe took out Vidui and decided they're going to go over Vidui, how they're going to say Vidui this year. So it's not long after, they got out after Pesach, so it's not long after the liberation. Oh, this is Ashkenaz. I don't know where Vidui is in this Ashkenaz. I don't say Vidui. Huh? Thank you. Okay. So the Rabbi said, tonight's going to be Yom Kippur. We're going to say Vidui. And the Rebbe said, I don't know what we're saying Vidui for. What do we do? So we're going to get up and say, Oshamino, I destroyed. So destroyed what? What do we have? For the past 5 years, what do we have? Running away from town to town. We had no food, we had no what to drink. We worked like dogs. We had no energy to even move. But God rebelled. Who had, the audacity to rebel? Who had the energy to rebel? Who cared? Who wanted anything? Gozalman. We stole. Stole from who? Stole what? What did we steal? Nobody had anything. He said one time that I into the bunk bed, I moved the bunk bed by accident. And he said his skin was so apart from his bone that it got stuck. And when the skin fell, it came off his bone and got stuck between the two parts of the beds that he moved. He made a little of a krechts. And he woke somebody up and he was over Gezel Shein. That's one thing Rebbe Gozalman. Dibayinu Doifi, we couldn't speak. We were so weak, we didn't talk. And he went to every Hevinu, Hershanu, Zadnu, Chomasnu, Tvanu Sheker. What? What? What are we going to be misvata for? And the Rebbe said, there's one thing we can say Vidui for. And the one thing we could all say Vidui for, just imagine what was going on over here. The Rebbe was speaking to a bunch of people, orphans, people who lost everything they had, they didn't have a penny, they didn't know where they're going, where they're coming from, what direction it is, they know where their parents are, their uncles, their nephews, their cousins, their brothers, their sisters, their hometown, nothing. They're in the camps, they barely had food, they didn't have sedurim, yarmulkes, tzitzis, nothing. Until Mike Tress was able to come with a few sedurim. They had nothing. They couldn't even daven still. They didn't even have food, kosher food. The Rebbe had to start camps, start kitchens when he got there. They had nothing. And the Rebbe said the one thing that we can say Vidui for this year is the fact that we woke up in the morning and the guy sleeping in the bed next to us didn't wake up. We were jealous of him. And we said, why is it that I had to wake up and he was zoich not to wake up this morning? Anybody who had that feeling, whether he said it or he didn't, or whether it was bepnimius or begolui, if you had that feeling, that you have to have Vidui for. Because it doesn't matter if we're starving to death. It doesn't matter if we're suffering. It doesn't matter if we're seeing dead bodies here and there. It doesn't matter the difficulties or the suffering we endured. If we don't know where we're coming from, where we're going, what we had, what we will have, how we survive, how we get a job, how we make a panosa, how we get married, how we do anything in our lives. Are we going to survive? Are we going to fight? Is it for Klai Yisrael? Is Judaism over? Is Klai Yisrael finished and done and squashed? It doesn't matter if you don't know any of these things. But if you can wake up and say, I wish I wasn't here, that you have to do tshuva for. That's Vidui. Because no matter what, we always know, just like the pnimius neshama of a Jew, has the ability to regenerate and to grow the needs of Moshe Rabbeinu that's inside of us. No matter what happens, can always come back. Klal Yisrael is the same way. That no matter the difficulties we go through, the suffering we endure, if somebody says, I wish I wasn't here, that person has their tshuva, because if Hashem puts you here, then you're supposed to be here. And all of us, he said to everybody there, we have to realize, Hashem put us here. We're survivors. We're the Yesheris HaPleita. We're the people who Hashem chose after the mass murders of all of our friends, our relatives. We're the survivors, up to us. Not to be jealous of the people who are not here, but to us to say, we are the ones who are going to rebuild. If you had such a machshavi during tshuva, viduin, from here and on, there's no much, no more thoughts like that. Hashem, just like he put us into, he's going to get us out, and those fakers, the Amalek, there's just Yayin and Nichlisayin in Yatzasoit. And the secret of every Jew will come out, will regenerate, will grow, will change our lives around, and the Rebbe was right. And Moshe Rosenberg was a person to testify. A 9-year-old kid, the kiddush of a 9-year-old boy who wouldn't take a piece of chicken on a Wednesday after starving for years and years, he wouldn't save for Shabbos Kodesh. A boy who was so careful, he davened day in and day out. He kept the mitzvahs in Torah. Even when it was difficult, even in the orphanage where there was no kosher food, he refused to eat. He was starving. He had 104-degree fever and in and out of consciousness. And he said, I'm not giving up, no matter what he endured. It's a lesson to all of us to be mechazek ourselves. And Baruch Hashem, we don't deal with these issues. We all deal with issues. We have all the difficulties. We have difficulties in ruchnias, getting up for learning, getting up for davening, waking up in the morning, waking up in simcha, and chinuch abonim, and zrizes, and zahiris, and shmiris hayinayim, and all the other things we have to do, and make brachos with kavon, and dine with kavon, and learning, be makan storim, mishnayis, gemara, b'chaims, whatever it is. And if we think that we've endured, and it's hard for us, and we didn't grow, and we don't dine with kavon like we think we should have, and we made kabbalas and it still didn't work, and we think that we're going to give up, remember this word. In the Kleisenberg Rebbe, I remember Moshe Rosenberg's life. A testimony to say that even though you go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to be afraid. Because we know, just that generation, they went through much greater Gehenna than we'll ever have to see in Be'ez Hashem. And the Rebbe was able to say to them that if you didn't want to be here anymore, then that's what you have to be vidui for. And we remember Moshe Rosenberg, a 9-year-old kid. He's a mysterious nefesh of Torah and mitzvahs. And we say, we're not going to give up, and we will regenerate. Just like the Rebbe said, we're the survivors. And just like these, we survived the Gehenna of the war. And these are going to be the kids who are going to rebuild Klal Yisrael. All of us, we have to remember to ourselves, all of us can rebuild. Whatever we have left in ourselves, we can rebuild ourselves in ruchnis and in gashmis. We rebuild ourselves in Torah and avodas Hashem, all the chesedos to be balim yidus tovus, lamdei Torah, yirei shemayim, ohevei Hashem, ohevei habriyos, have ahavas Yisrael, all good midas. So a quick chazara. Is it overacted to tzavah? Is it koyach of tzadik and to be ma'ir mechazik every Jew? To be pnimius his life and to ignite that on fire. And we say that's a pshat. The lo yad hish has kvuros. Nobody knew Moshe Rabbeinu was buried because he's buried inside of all of us. That was number one. Number two, we said, over Shem and Zay Zach. Because only when you're pressed and you're squashed does oil come out. Just like us. Only when we're suffering and it's hard, then does that true value, our pneumias, come out. We see the beauty of Jews. And number three, the Shechante B'Soichon, I dwell amongst them, B'Yisi Lachem Le'Lokim, and I'll be for you, Elokim. Because we have to accept, just like Moshe Rosenberg taught us, B'Tochen doesn't mean it's going to be good, B'Tochen means whatever it is, we're going to deal with it because Hashem loves us. So, Siyad Dishmaya, all of us, this moment on, take upon ourselves to know it's not going to be easy. And Avodas Hashem is not simple. And Limud HaTorah and Kiddusha and Tahara and Shmiras HaNayim and Avodas Hashem is not easy. But we'll know we're the survivors. And if we fail, we'll get up and do it again. If we mess up in the past, it doesn't mean we're going to mess up in the future. And just like the Nevi'im Chaim, he said over, that just like right now Hashem creates the world every moment, every millisecond, over and over again, that means all of us are new. We're renewed. With the ability to renew ourselves. And become ourselves new. Become new people. His chadshus. We shall be zoich, Be'ez Hashem. This Chanukah, this Purim. Shuzoich to meicha Amalek. Destroy Amalek. Destroy the Kaltkai. Destroy the Kriris. Destroy the Sfeikas. But live with the Rebbeinu, with Hamunah Shleima. that Hashem is with us, and we live with the Rebbeinu Shalayla, and we fill the Teslavis and our five Torah mitzvahs, the Nechis Yayin, it's a soid of every single one of us, the soid Pneim of Kedusha and Taharah, should be Zoich, the dancing we're going to do here on Purim, that should be a beginning of the dancing we're going to do, Bez Hashem, and a Hemshach of that, in the Beis HaMikdash, B'Bias Gerot Tzadik, B'Rev Amin.
Very nicely said.